Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
You can be seated. I possibly made a mistake yesterday. I went on the youth ski trip. I didn't sleep at all. So at some point I made an error in judging time and what the hill would mean in terms of cold. Quite a number of traumas happened, but a lot of good things happened. One of the good things that happened was that our kids got off of that bus and they didn't go up to their hotel rooms. They didn't get something to eat. They dropped their bags in the lobby and they ran to a room, got on the piano, and they began to worship. And then they got out on the slopes and did all that stuff. And at 11 o'clock at night, they didn't go to their rooms. They didn't do anything. They went back in their room and they started worshiping for another hour. And I said, I love these kids that's in our youth rush group and their leader. And I just want to take 1 or 2 minutes because you just got to have a testimony for how good it's going. Minister Ernie, why don't you come up and just, oh, Brian, I didn't even see you there. Why don't y'all just come up together? I'm sorry, Brian, I didn't see you, Pastor Brian. Come on, give it up for him. He's watching out for our kids. They're doing such a great job.
Well, good morning. Good morning. We had an amazing trip. I am only half awake right now, but isn't it good to know that young people want to worship God? Isn't that good to have a generation of young people that put Him first? I'm going to share a text message I got with this morning. I got a couple from some students. Here's one. It says, I had such an awesome time this weekend. I loved ascending the mountain of the Lord with all of you, literally and figuratively. I got to feel God's love in an amazing new way. I decided with the Lord that I'm tired of all the distractions because they are background noise that are keeping me from hearing God calling me. So I'm going to pick up the phone when He calls. I would like to start to be able to minister more to my friends so that they can experience the same change that I have. Thanks for such a great time. That's just one of many I've been getting all night long since we got back. I'm telling you, God is changing lives. We saw students get born again. We saw students filled with the Holy Spirit. We saw many just reinvigorated with a fresh fire and a fresh passion. So if you have a high school or a middle school student, please get them involved with what God is doing in this generation here at Bethel. Ernie was there with us too, and I know he's got a story, so I'm going to let him tell you real quick.
Well, firstly, I just want to, you know, it's amazing this morning I was driving to church and I thought about Pastor Brian, and I'm only recently got to start to know him, and I said, God, thank you for this man. You know, he preached to your children in a way that made me thankful. I want my kids to be in his church and hear him preach about ascending the mountain and clean hands, pure heart, fresh start. I mean, all these things that he has. Brian, thank you so much, Pastor Brian, for that. I just really from my side, I really love when people don't just get saved, but they get empowered to go get others saved. You know, that's what the gospel is all about, right? And so that's what we saw this week. And not only did we see salvations, but we saw these little young kids get full with the power of God, having their faith coming alive. It's no longer mommy and daddy's faith,
yes,
but now they're starting to develop an appetite for, yes, the presence of God. And like you said, they want to go share the faith. So we saw young kids get full with the Holy Spirit saying, man, what is this? What we're feeling? What I feel like something inside of me. And you saw their faces lit up. Just with as the Holy Spirit came into them and made their faith alive. So yeah, praise God for that.
And nobody got injured. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
For that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Especially me. Thank you, sir. You take it. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, you know it. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day. Give us this day our daily
forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not.
Take it. Hallelujah. For thine. Sing, church. Hallelujah.
God.
Profound prayer one Jesus gave when asked to teach them to pray. He began to give this prayer, probably the most famous prayer in the world, the most prayed prayer in the world by some standards. And I would say that was accurate. However, as much as we can pray this prayer that we've been given as a gift, you would think that dialing this number would give you a guarantee of a connection with God. But saying this prayer doesn't always give you exactly what you're anticipating you'll get. It seems like it promises you something. You anticipate something, but it doesn't always deliver that which you anticipate when you say the words. It's as if sometimes you can actually recite or rehearse the words and they don't even have meaning to you, even though you know they are meaningful. And it seems to be that you can come to church and have this bit of a disconnect. And I can feel it even in the world of Christianity, that we're coming and doing all of the godly activities, but we don't have the God of the activities that we're doing. We have a desire to be close to Him, and we have the patterns of what closeness should look like, but we still seem to be a bit of a distance away, and something is clouding Him out or making it crowded. It's a lot of things in life jockeying for the same position that God has. And because there seems to be a delay on God's behalf in terms of reaching us or reaching out to us or reaching back to us or reaching down to us, we begin to just say, forget His process and let me just do whatever it takes to survive because I still gotta live. Okay, let's go to Matthew 6, 33. And I'm gonna read this out of the Amplified Version. And for the whole of the series, this will contextualize what the whole will be about, no matter what the subject matter at various times is. But seek, aim at, strive after, first of all, His kingdom and His righteousness. Amen. Seek first the kingdom, or seek first the king, because you can't have a kingdom without a king. You got to strive, you got to seek. But it's as if God is playing this massive game of hide and seek where He hides and you never seem to be able to find Him. I don't want to play it that way. I want to play hide and seek where somebody finds somebody, giggles, and you kind of get the clues and you find them. But Bible says God, He begins to, you know, speak the truth in the mystery. It seems like, you know, He's in heaven, we're on earth, and He leaves these clues of how to get to Him, and you begin to seek Him based on these clues. But if after some period of time in your seeking, you don't connect with Him in some type of profound way, we give up, cave in, and quit. But we keep doing the activities like reciting the Lord's Prayer, showing up to church, that give the appearance that we're getting closer to God. But in actuality, we're only confirming that we're far from God, but we don't know how to tell somebody that we're far from God because we just showed up and it appears that we're close to God. And we got all of these tools in our tool equipment. But seek first, aim for the King. You've got to get a desire for the King. Delight yourself in the Lord, Psalm 37:4, and he'll give you desires of your heart. That verse goes on to say that everything else will be added if you seek him first. But because he's taking so long, I got to handle my money. If you'd have answered me, Lord, about my money, I wouldn't have to supersede what you was talking about, because I would know what you had in store for me, and I'd be able to do that, because I don't know. I got to handle my business. Got bills to pay. Don't have time to wait on you. So this is the first thing that I have to put above you, because I can't get to you, because it seems to be too difficult to get to your mysterious way of figuring out what you're really talking about. I would do it, but you're too mysterious. You should chill that out. And then, you know, it's the beginning of the year, Lord. We got to get fit and eat right. And I'm sure you've got an agenda too. You want me to fast. I'm going to combine them, because I can't hear from you anyway. We're going to fast. I'm going to work on my weight. You're going to work on whatever you work on. I don't know what you work on fast. See, the reality begins to sink in that we are into this pattern of doing the things of God without comprehending what the benefit really is. Okay? And oh no, well, look, we got some other first things. Family. You know family come first. Society breaking down. It's all about my kids, my kid, my kid, my kid, my kid. My kid had that, my kids. My kid got my kids. My kid. No, my mama and them. Somebody in your family always has something that encroaches upon you making him the priority. You notice how he's not even in the same line or category with all these other first things. He's somewhere in the back. Even though the way you get these things added is by seeking him first. I'll get to him. Debbie's daddy, Pop Winers, when he was living, I love his example. He at 4 or 5 in the morning, he would be dressed this good. What? That didn't sound right. He would be dressed night. I don't think I look good. I do, but it's going wrong. It didn't mean it as a praise, but he just would be dressed nicely. Lord help me. Have his cologne right, and you see him sitting down in the living room, leg crossed, saying, ha ha, yeah, Lord. Yes, Lord. I hear that, Lord. You're right. What is he talking? What are they doing? I want to know. There were other times he would be dressed in the same way, whether at his home or private, he'd be in that same suit on his knees. Yes, Lord. I hear you, Lord. Yeah, I'm going to do that. That's all good with me. And I see, it was one time where Debbie was asked to open up at the time with the largest grossing tour in history. Now it's the number 3, which was the Bodyguard tour with Whitney Houston's album. The first time a gospel act opened up for a secular act. And, you know, it was a big thing. And Debbie wasn't going to go to the show. She was 18 years old. And Pop was going to come to the rehearsals and everything and pray and stuff. But, you know, this was, you know, to be honest, this was a moment of dignity and sobriety and where you keep it in the closet. And, you know, you're nice and godly, but you're not flamboyant with who you are with God. Not David Winans. Now, everybody in the thing that stayed, he the loudest one with an all access pass. Give him praise, Debbie! He's been too good to you. Yes, he is good. Sir, we're trying to rehearse. No, you need to praise him. There was
something about his connection that was so deep that his desire for God was greater than every other desire he could have on earth. And he wasn't afraid to be identified in private or in public with who God was and what God did. But see, we are acquainted with this disappointment. You know, like when I go to J. Alexander and I want that cornbread. I don't know if you've ever been in there, got that skillet with that cornbread. Oh, Jesus, God, somebody. I got to have that before this fast. Now, Lord, that help. Whew. You know, you can taste it. I can taste it right now. It's buttery. But you know, you get there and it's like an hour away. You can't wait because you're hungry. Go over to Macaroni Grill and eat one of their rolls. It ain't the same. You can eat their same hamburger, but it ain't the same. But it filled you up, but it just didn't satisfy you. So you still, you got nourishment, but you're disappointed emotionally. Your expectations didn't get met. And see, we're coming to church and we're getting filled up with the word, but our expectations of getting connected with God and communicating with him and getting a word from him, it's not really happening, and we're leaving with our desire not fulfilled. Bible said, hope not fulfilled make the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. We need to hear from him. Prayer is communion and communication with God, hearing from God and saying back to God what God has said to you and to me. I recall being the only woman I've ever been with in my life in an intimate way. You know what I mean? For the children that's in the room. I see them, they scouting them out in the room, you know. Was Debbie. Same with her. Me. And for the 4 years that I had been in her life before we got married, her dad's prayer life affected me. And I got up at 6 like he did. Home, public. I've been getting up at 6. And I remember our first night of our honeymoon. And, you know, I'm laying there and the next morning, I'm just crying. I'm crying. My wife, you know, it's supposed to be a happy day, you know. Waited a long time. Just don't let this analogy go left, Lord. Okay. But I'm supposed to be happy, but I'm crying. What's wrong? It's 8 a.m. I done missed 6 a.m. prayer. Because I done been with you. Now, I love this story because as humans, we relate to the love we have for another human being as kind of like the highest pinnacle of desire and intimacy. But somehow, God doesn't get to that level with us as if it's not possible. But I'm telling you, there is something that human beings can give to one another that doesn't compare with what God can give to you if you're seeking him first. And when you have a standing appointment with God, and he actually... You seek him and you find him on a regular basis. And you hear those words that come from heaven that ring in your soul and make you alive again. Because in his word is light and life. Oh my God, you cannot compare anything to it. It's where we want to be. Now, if God is unfair, he will give me, James Lowe, access to him in a way that he won't give it to you. Or he'll give Jesus access to him in a way he won't give it to you, which will thus make him unfair. But he won't do that. Everybody that seeks him finds him. And everybody that knocks and keeps on knocking on his door is open. And everybody that asks and keeps on asking receives. The problem is, beloved, we are giving up just before he shows up. And when you give up, what happens is you forfeit the forefront of God and you begin to make something else your God. And God has to get you back. So the scripture says he, in Hosea 2:14, he allures you into a wilderness place where he can speak comfortable words to you. He gets you out of this place of thinking you got it all together on your own. And he says, without me, you can't make it. But with me, you can do all things. He says, I'm slow. I was about to get too excited. God, you might be asking yourself, why am I in this wilderness? What did I do wrong? Maybe it's just you've asked God to show up and you hadn't been able to connect with him after all of your showing up here, and he's got to get your attention. And the wilderness for a child of God is never to break you, but to make you more conducive to his will, more applicable to his will, more inclined to his will, more inclined to hear him. His intent is never to hurt us or harm us, but to help us get to him. Because he birthed you for a purpose. And if you can't hear him speak to you, you can't do it. Now, And I say this, and I'm going to get into this text. I don't want you to make the mistake of saying, it is easy, Pastor James, for you to preach this type of message because you're prophetic. And prophetic people get prophetic insight, and you have a secret weapon which allows your mind to be illuminated by God in a way to which he would not do it with me, and therefore it gives you an unfair advantage in I cannot hear like you can hear, and therefore, you're preaching your message and not mine. He is no respecter of persons. If you want him, you go get him. In fact, you have right now as much of God as you want. The portion you have is the portion you desire. Well, I want more. Well, keep asking. Well, I needed more than he gave me. Keep seeking. Well, I was expecting him to give me just a bit. Keep on knocking. Because that's what it takes to keep him first. Because he wasn't born for you because he wasn't born. You were born for him. You're trying to get to him, not the other way around. Now, here's the scary thing. 96% of us say we pray, but the quality of our prayer and the length of our prayer is suspect. The quality of our prayer is repetition or something menial, or something selfish or self-centered and not God-centered. And the length of our prayer is in some instances a minute, but normally no longer than 5. So he couldn't be first. Well, that's not gonna go well. Yeah, I mean, ain't no way to make this right except to just take it all the way back behind that chair. Yeah, that just, you need a helper now. You just got to know when he's just way back there because that's where we placed him. So let's look at Matthew 6, and we're going to see these three things that God has provided us once we say we desire him with a prayer focus. And our focus narrows to a prayer formula, which leans into a greater prayer power through fasting. Focus, formula, and fasting. But it's gonna give you the power, extra power. See, fasting, which your flesh already said when we announced the fasting, your flesh said, I don't do that. Oh no, that's too many days. I gotta take my medicine. Now, if you take medicine, I ain't talking to you. I'm talking about those who just decided that they needed medicine. Because I've done that. And I got a cough. Lord, I can't go on that. I just got to tell the truth while I'm up here. No, no, no. Your flesh says, I don't want to do that. But Jesus said when they couldn't cast the devil out, he said, this kind only comes out through fasting and praying. And then he comes and casts the devil out, showing that fasting for him was a lifestyle, because their inability was his ability, and he had already predetermined how he got that ability was through the discipline of fasting and prayer. Jesus, even though, I'm ahead of myself, but it's okay, he said, even though he was the Son of God, eternally the second person in the Godhead, he's eternally God, the Son of God. He, to me, he don't have to pray, but he gives us a pattern that he always prayed. Very early, Mark 1, 34, 35, he said, while it was still dark, he went to a solitary place and prayed. Why did he have to pray? And if Jesus prayed, I don't stand a chance if I don't. Okay, let's get a focus. Verse 5. And when you pray, so this is not an option, it's a command. When you pray, it's communions. Saying something to God and listening back. Saying back to God what he said to you. When I taught my kids to pray, I say, go upstairs and pray. They come back, Daddy, we prayed. I said, what did God say to you? He said, they said nothing. I said, you ain't pray. Go back upstairs. What did he say to you? Nothing. Go back. What did he say to you? He said, Daddy, he ain't saying nothing, but I don't want to go back. Go back. This is a pattern. It's so important to me that my children understand that life is in his word. Life is in communion. Jesus set a pattern that they don't get permission to start their day. Go to school. Go get some cereal. Go play until they communicate. Oh, that you're being too hard. You're being too hard. Well, no, I'm doing what the Bible said. Train them in the way they should go. That when they're old, they won't depart. I don't train them to do vain repetition. Well, that's what I'm getting ahead of my. You must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the street corners, and they may be seen by others. Truly, I say that they have received the reward. But when you pray, go into your closet, shut the door. And your Father who sees in secret, he's going to reward you openly. And when you go pray, do not heap up empty phrases like Gentiles do, for they think for their many words that they're going to get blessed. Do not be like them, for the Father knows what you need before you say it. So don't think because you just said some stuff, that's when, now nah, lay me down to sleep, pray to the Lord, so key. That's that far away, pray to the Lord, so to say, God is good, God is great. That's thank you for us. Amen. I tell my kids, stop that. Listen, are you asking God to be a part of your meal? Are you asking God to be in fellowship with you now? Are you comprehending that you're trying to say, Lord, I know that you're doing take out any impurity in this? Or are you just saying some vain words in a religious sense and therefore weakening your relationship with God because you're doing it in a vain way, in a repetitious way, to please your daddy, to be seen by me? That's your reward. You're not getting him, you're just getting me happy. You're getting other people happy because, oh, my pastor's going to be happy I showed up to the prayer meeting. No, get God happy. And show up to the prayer meeting. He'll be happy about that, I'm sure. I had a friend that every time a new year would come, they would get a word from God. And they say, oh, the Lord said I'm going to prosper. I'm going to be blessed coming in and going out. And sure enough, they would be blessed going in and blessed coming out. Several years this pattern happened. Miraculous things happened in life. And they say, well, this can't keep up forever. And then they stop talking like that. They stop praying like that. They stop saying back to God what he has said to them. And all of a sudden, they stop having breakthrough. And when I saw him, I said, why don't you talk like that anymore? Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard. I'm going through trials. I'm in the wilderness. Well, he's got our point. Why don't you dig up some of the old words, you know? Well, you know, yeah, I don't even know if that's real. What's going on? You're out of practice. You done pushed him so far back, you can't find him. Because all of these things are on equal playing field with him. Because you'll miss God, but you ain't going to miss your workout. Oh, I got to get to the gym. Girl, shoot. None of us is going to miss a meal. You can miss your prayer time, but you're not going to miss breakfast. Not a lot of amens on that, but that's okay. You're not going to stop going to work. You're going to miss that money. And you know it's all about your kids. Isn't it funny? God is getting pushed so far back. But in order to really start right, you got to have a desire for the king first, and it gives you the right focus. Go shut the door. See, what you do in private, how you connect with him in private is amplified and multiplied publicly because his anointing and his grace is on you. And when you do things publicly, it's clear God is blessing that person. They have a prayer life. They are seeking God. It becomes clear you have been with God. What did they say about Jesus? It's clear they've been with him. Hey, see, you want that said of you. You've been with God. I know when a person's been with God. I know Pastor Tipton been with God. I can call him down here, and some of y'all did not feel with the Spirit. It just gets filled with the Spirit because he's been with God. He probably already been praying in his prayer language all morning. If I let him go right now, he would just go out and tell him, but I ain't going to do that to y'all. Because his wife would be mad. Now, focus. Shut that door. And the Bible says in Isaiah, put him in remembrance of his word. When you get in your prayer time and your focus, here's what I don't want you to do. Don't be like the hypocrites and worry about what people think and get all repetitious. Take it, well, you did some sins, say 10, or say 100 Our Fathers. Now, I'm not trying to belittle them or demean them. I'm just saying that saying the Our Father prayer shouldn't be a penance for doing something wrong. That's a misuse of its greatness. Okay? That's using it as wrong focus. People say, well, the Muslims pray more than us, but they ain't praying to him. Okay? They got more. Just don't get off. Okay? You got the opportunity to be focused. Now, format. Formula. I love this. Jesus is going to show us here. I mean, let me kind of explain it before I read the text to you. He's going to give us a formula. The first thing you're going to see is he's going to say, teach us. He wants them, they're asking to be taught to pray. And said, this is the format. This is how you should pray. Well, just throw that scripture up there. Pray then like this. This format. This formula. This pattern. This way. I'm going to just take the first part. Our Father in heaven. The first thing you notice in his format, it's a we statement or an our statement. He doesn't focus on the individual. He focuses on the corporate. All of our prayers are about us. The Bible says, my house should be a house of prayer for all nations. But of the 87% of people who pray once a week, 57% of them pray exclusively for their family. And only 3.3% pray for strangers or other people. So less than 3% of the church grows through evangelism, and less than 3.3% of people pray for strangers. And his house is supposed to be a house for prayer for all nations. You know what that tells me? We're not connected with him as the first thing. We're not seeking for him first. We're not aiming for him first. The priorities of our life are clouding him out, and he's in the back. Our Father. Because the minute we talk like him, focus like him, have a format like him, it's automatically inclusive. Our Father. It's Abba. Jesus 195 times called him Daddy. He didn't relate to him as creator, though he is creator. He didn't use the great I am, the great I am. We want to use all the names of God. He's El Shaddai. We just want to use all the names, and we just sound great. Look, Daddy. You don't get better than that. Revelation 3:17 says, just like Jesus Christ sits on the throne with God, I'm going to also sit with Christ on his throne. I'm with him. I'm in his lap. I'm somebody special to him. I have a relationship with him. But he's still in heaven. He's not of earth. He's not of a cursed thing. He loves me, but he's still high and lifted up. I gotta be careful how I approach him. He's still high and lifted up. So then the next thing he does is give us two sets of three in this formula. The first set of three help us see what our attitude or disposition should be to who he is. The second set of three allow us to petition for what we need or what we want. The first set of three, let's read the scripture, says your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So he says, basically, hallowed be thy name. Put my chart up there. So here's a way to enter. Honor God's person. Hallowed be thy name. Submit to God's program. Thy kingdom come. His kingdom, his reign, his authority, his power. Obey God's purpose, his will, not your will. Your will and God's will are probably opposite. I said probably. Maybe you lined up in some cases. His ways are not like our ways. Neither his thoughts like our thoughts. You have got to surrender your will in order to get his will. Even Jesus taught us this in the garden. He was able to petition God about what he didn't want to have to go this route, but he submitted to God and said, nevertheless, not my will, yours be done. Peter, on the other hand, was loud-mouthing, saying, you know, Lord, I'll die for you before I let somebody kill you. Lord, I'll take the bullet for you, Jesus. Jesus said, look, man, before the crow, you're going to deny me three times. Before the cock crow, three times, you're going to say you don't know me. I ain't going to do that. See, this saying, his will be done, is not lip service. This is not like, well, yeah, this is a good thing to say. I like saying the Lord's Prayer. No, what you're saying is, I surrender. I know who you are. Hallowed be your name. You and God's not buddy. Jesus not your homeboy. Homeboy means two unhomes. Jesus is not your homeboy. When Moses got on that mountain, he said, take your shoes off. Me and you are going to be close friends, but don't forget I'm holy and you're standing on holy ground. You better reverence me. And when you get in God's presence, you got to kneel. Well, I don't like getting on my knees, but you need to learn to get there. I like to pray sitting up. Well, no, maybe you need to get your face right down on the, get your nose down there in your good clothes. Because that's who he is. He's not like us, but he loves us, he lets us call him daddy. But he's still holy. You have to honor his name. Obey his reign. He's got power. We're not on equal terms with him. Well, I got rights in the kingdom. I can claim stuff. Well, you just calm down. Stop big boying and big girling and walking around your house throwing your weight around. Walk around with some humility. When you walk with humility, God said, I exhort that. No, I got right. You don't got to treat me like this. No. They'll treat me how you want, but Jesus will deal with you. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you. See, when you're praying, you humble yourself. I don't have to find, I can tell you if somebody's praying, because they just back up. That's okay. That's okay. You go first. That's okay. It doesn't bother me. It's okay. I'll wait. It's okay. They praying. People ain't praying. Oh, no, honey. Don't even try that. You know I was next. Medea spirit coming out of you. It's provision. God says you get to get his provision. He says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. He said, cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you. He says, man to live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. You know, he not only gave them physical manna, he was giving them a spiritual word. You don't only need physical food, you need spiritual food. You got to get a word from God every day. That's why prayer is important. You're not going to know, I thank you, Lord, you're not going to know where the provision is for your financial blessing if you won't get on your knees and find out. You're just going to get into the next business deals that somebody bring you away, because you won't sit there and listen to God tell you that a man over here has got your favor. You're going to go work a business deal you don't have the grace to do, because you're trying to make it. Or you're going to go live in a city because I just got to make it. Because you can't listen to God tell you in your city there's help for you, because you can't be patient to wait on him. Because you don't think he cares that deeply. And he does. He said, I'll give you a daily bread. He knows you got to live every day. He knows you got a bill coming. He knows you need purpose. He knows you got to answer questions. Shut yourself in your closet so you can listen. While he's not speaking, stay there until he does. Have you ever tried that? I'm not eating. I'm not watching TV. I'm not making another phone call until I hear from him. But I got to go to work. When I get back from work, I'm right back on the regiment. What I got to deal with my kids. When I get them to bed, I'm right back on the regiment. That's how important it is. We need to hear from you. We need a word from you. And if we don't hear from you, what will we do? Wanting you more each day, show us your perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. That's what you need. We need to hear. It's just a request. We need a word. He loves you too much to have you ask and then not give it to you. He's not cut like that. It's not how he is. Now, final point, fasting. He says, you might as well just keep the melody because I'm over time. And it helps me. Next scripture. And when you fast, so this is not an if, this is, so when we fast tomorrow, see how the Bible just said that to you? When you fast tomorrow, fast is to go without food, sometimes without water. I don't recommend that one unless he got a word. I don't recommend you saying, well, you know, I'm going to go 40 days. No, you're not. He ain't telling you 40 days. Pastor, I think he's telling me, no, because you didn't hear him tell you to pay your bill on time, so I know he didn't tell you to go 40 days. That's a little test. Because that's written in the book. Don't withhold good from thy neighbor when it's in their power to do so. See, you can read that one. And then don't get so spiritual. Stay calm. We're going to go on a 5-day fast. We're going to read the booklet. If you got to take medicine, you take it. It's a consecration. You're just going to deny certain things. Make the prayer meetings. Should I be at the 6 a.m. prayer meeting? Well, if you can't make the noon, you can't make the 7, you should be at the 6. That's kind of early. Well, don't take a chance that you're going to miss them all. Just show up at the first one. You can make that one. Well, what I'm going to say, you're going to learn to pray and get a word. We need to hear. Stand on your feet. Oh, we need. And if we don't hear from you, what will we do? Homework. Wanting you more each day. Show a perfect way. There is no other way that we can live. Homework. What should I do in the new year if God's going to be first? Pray first every day. You can't pray an hour, just start 5 or 10 minutes a day, every day, consistent. Read your Bible every day. Every day. 5 or 10 minutes. That's all I'm asking. Fast with us for 5 days. Minister the gospel by just telling your testimony. Once a week. Just every day, but if you set a goal every day and you'll hit once a week, that's good. And pray with your family once a day. It's a good New Year's start to getting him from the back to the front. Bow your head, close your eyes. Lord, if you're here today and you came on the new year to cross that line, the line that says I've been my own boss and I need to make Jesus the boss and I'm not going to play games. I came in the new year to get the right start and get the stuff out of the same category with Jesus and get Jesus as the headliner in my life. And I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, maybe for the first time, or I want to renew that. If you're here today and you want to put Jesus in his rightful place and you know you need to get that right and you feel that in your heart, well, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. 1, 2, 3. Thank you, 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 and up a venue. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Put your hands down. Now, if that was you and that was the first time, or you know that you need somebody to hold you accountable and walk with you, that's what we do at this church. I want my ministry team to come down. We're not going to belabor the hour. We're going to begin to praise God, and I want you to come and let somebody walk with you right now. Come on, ministry team, if you raise your hand, come on down and stand with us. Because if we don't hear, oh, what will we do? Come on, come on, come on, come on, church. Come on, if you raise your hand, come on down. We need to hear. Come on. Thank you, thank you, thank you, my sister. God bless you. Thank you, my sister. God bless you. Come on, come on. If you raise your hand, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, my brother. Come on, thank you, thank you. Come on, let's give God praise. Come on down, my sister. Come on down, my sister. We've been waiting on you. It's your year. Come on down. Look at my sister. Anybody else before I dismiss you? Yes. Oh, come on, my sister right here. Charlene, come on. And come on, my sister. Come on, come on, they're still coming. Oh, come on, just praise God for a minute. Somebody knows. Yes. Mr. Ernie, you got him? Now, if you know that you and Jesus, y'all, you can't have this no more. Get that hand up. I'm gonna pray for you on the way out. If you know that he gotta take that top seat. See, my life, don't be religious, see, because I know as much as I got all that nice title and everything, he still had a seat that was too equal with other stuff. I got him out here, way out front now. If you want me to pray for you to get him out where he belongs, raise your hand. I want to pray for you as I dismiss. Thank you. Lord, as we dismiss these hands, you see him up? Lord, this is all us saying. We're getting Jesus in his rightful seat. God, you're not in the back of my life. You're in the front of my life, and you're first. You're the first thing first. God, wherever you've been last place, we're sorry, we repent. I turn from wrong thinking, wrong living, and I turn to you, and you're going to give me freshness and newness of life. Bless your people today, God, not to forget the word planted in their heart, but cause them to be blessed, God. Cause us to show up at 6 and noon and 7 to seek you first, God. Don't let us get discouraged by snow or by stomach pains or worries and cares of this life, God. Let us press our way so we can give you glory. We thank you, God. Now take your people from this place, but not from your presence. Keep them in the center of your will and Japheth. We'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. You are dismissed.